You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Your voice.
Your questions.
Your morning radio with Clement Maniatella.
This is 702.
24 minutes before 11 o'clock. We do part three now of our six-part series, the front seat to tomorrow with the BMW iX. And this is what we've been doing every single Wednesday, where we are in conversation with industry experts and leaders within the BMW team who share the BMW journey to sustainability and broadly discuss responsible car making. And remember, in the first part, we discussed how BMW is driving sustainability through its future models. And then in our second part, we talked about electric cars and how they are fundamentally changing the way cars are designed. But as a country, are we adequately prepared for electric cars that are coming our way? Yeah. And that's the focus in our third part series today. Do we have the necessary infrastructure and capacity to keep our electric cars up and running? I'm going to take your calls on 011-883-0702 if you want to weigh in on this. Maybe you've tried electric cars yourself, right? Give me a call. You can send us a WhatsApp voice note on 072-702-1702. And we thought today we should talk about charging electric vehicles and pick up from where my colleague started, Relebogile Mabotja. She started this conversation on 702 Afternoons on her show yesterday. And my guest today is Hayley Philander, who's a product communications specialist for BMW Group South Africa. Hayley, thank you so much for coming through. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Clement. Thank you.
Let's start with just the basics here. How do electric vehicles charge? Is it like your cell phone or your laptop?
Essentially, yes. It's a plug and play philosophy.
Yeah.
So you drive up to a charging station. Your car would come with a cable, which you'd then plug one end into the car and one into the plug one end into the charging station.
Yeah.
And there you go. And then you can monitor the charge, the state of charge, either via the car or with an app.
That's interesting. So, but can I have that capacity at home as well?
Yeah.
That kind of infrastructure.
Yes, indeed. So the cars would normally come, well, in the iX's case in particular, it will be sold with a wall box, so that can be installed at your home. And then, yeah, you can plug in. We like to think of it as charging a cell phone, so when you get home from work, whatever, you plug your phone in and you carry on with your life.
Mm.
In the same way, you could then plug in your car when you get home, charge it overnight, which is probably the easiest thing if you're not going to be out and about. But even if you're not charging overnight, whenever you get a chance to charge your car, just charge it. Yeah.
So this kind of infrastructure is required for these electric vehicles. Not everywhere, but at the very least, you need to have it sufficient. I can only think my battery is running low and I still have 100 kilometers to go. What is our current infrastructure like, and what are some of the challenges associated with such infrastructure and making it available in most parts?
Well, I mean, for the most part, up till now, with introduction of the iX, the BMW Group electric cars have been geared towards urban or suburban mobility.
Mm-hmm.
And considering that the fact that there are probably less than 1,000 electric cars on the road at the moment, our charging infrastructure within the country is about 260 charging stations. So essentially, there's more than enough charging stations to go around, depending on where it is that you are and what it is that you do. For us, the cars, and as well as the app that you're able to use that connects, that reads your car's state of charge, using the sat nav in the car, which is built in. Depending on where you're going, the car can suggest charging opportunities. It can give you options of where to charge. It can tell you you're not gonna make your location based on what the state of charge is. But obviously, there's another big factor to consider, which is the driver behavior, as well as the road conditions. So even, as you would notice with your internal combustion engine car, which is your regular petrol or diesel engine car, you are able to adjust how much fuel you use or how much fuel is available
based on
your driving style. Mm. So you can apply the same principle with an electric vehicle as well. So, and also from our side, they are, based on how you drive, how you brake, how often you brake, if you're in stop-start traffic, if you're going downhill, those all opportunities to recharge the battery as you go. So it's actually very possible, and I've experienced it myself before, where you leave where you're going on a route and you arrive at your destination and you've got more battery power than you had before you left.
And I suppose it's also, you could argue the same with the phone. When you're using it aggressively, the power really goes off quickly. And I'm just thinking, if I own an electric car, my battery would be depleted probably in just 30 minutes because of just my driving behavior. I'm a fast driver kind of a guy.
That's no excuse. I apparently have a bit of a lead foot, but that shouldn't stop you from doing what you need to.
Yeah.
Definitely not.
Can I carry that infrastructure with me, though? So, I mean, you're saying 260 stations across the country. If I'm in an area that doesn't have that infrastructure, do I have the capacity, or the car has the capacity to, you know, carry, I don't know, the charger and whatever infrastructure is needed, so I can, I don't know, pass somewhere and ask people who have electricity, can I charge my car?
Yeah, the cars do come with what we call an emergency charger. Again, it's an emergency charger. So the idea is usually you'll find, if you speak to owners of electric vehicles, there's a bit more planning that's required. So the idea is to not allow your battery to run completely flat. It's not optimal for the battery. So there is an optimal kind of operating range in which the battery should be used. Again, but in that instance, if you see that you're not going to make it, the chances, the suggestion would be then to on route, maybe just factor in some time. Stop for some of the charges. I mean, if you use a fast charger, you can get up to 80%, depending on how low your battery is, if I can use that term, within an hour. So if you're using a fast charger, I mean, that's time to get a coffee and maybe flick through social media. So it's just about how you get the car to fit within your lifestyle.
And how far can that take you if you've charged 80%?
Well, that's the thing. So depending on which car it is, because, I mean, we've got cars, like I said, the i3 and the Coupe S, Mini Coupe SE, that have a range of about 200 to 215 kilometers.
Okay.
And then the iX, which is coming imminent, that has a range of between, depending on the model again, 425 kilometers or 630 kilometers.
Again,
those are all variable. Yes.
How much does this kind of infrastructure cost? I'd always BMW, you're probably working with other stakeholders to make sure that there are most charging stations. Who carries the cost? I mean, is it the various stations where they say, okay, this is how much it charges and this is the demand and the need that we've observed, and therefore we see the need to have this infrastructure fitted? And what's the cost looking like?
Yeah, so there are a number of stakeholders working behind the scenes to make sure that we're all prepared for the next wave of electromobility. BMW Group South Africa is just one kind of component within that whole infrastructure, I want to say solution. But yeah, there are third parties, other manufacturers. So it really is a collective exercise at the moment. In terms of cost, I mean, it varies depending on what system you want to install, who is installing it, what the conditions are in which the charging station needs to be installed. I mean, for home use, normally we would suggest to use an alternate current or AC charger, which allows charging up to 22 kilowatts. That's for overnight charging. And then we have what we would call DC or fast chargers. So even that infrastructure is also being expanded upon and increased all the time. But yeah, I mean, the costs would vary dramatically depending on in which environment and how you're planning to use the charger.
All right. I've got a call from Dibello, who's calling us from Kelvin. Dibello, good morning. Hi, Dibello.
Your call has been placed on hold.
Dibello, you're placing us on hold. I'm going to put you back to the producers. Let's try and get Dibello ready for that call. Dibello wanted to comment on the infrastructure capacity as well. We'll go to Dibello's call after the break. I see some of your calls as well, your WhatsApp voice notes on 072-702-1702. Are we ready for electric cars? Do we have the necessary infrastructure and capacity to keep our electric cars up and running? This is the part three of our six-part series, the front seat tomorrow with the BMW iX. I'll go straight to your calls and voice notes after this. It's 15 before 11.
You're with Clement Maniatella.
702.
Right, 13 minutes before 11 o'clock. We're talking about charging electric vehicles. And I see a lot of you have questions about this. I'm going to go to your WhatsApp messages now in a short while. Let's start with the calls. Tebello, you put us on hold earlier. Have we got you now?
Yeah, come on.
What's your question, man? Good morning.
Clement, I don't have a question particularly to say. I'm actually supporting this new ideas of power electric cars. So I'm actually inventing a generator that's going to be able to charge these cars, also to run the household as a whole, from swimming pools, geysers, and so on and so on. So that kind of generator is going to run without fuel. No petrol, no diesel, but it's going to be a self-propelled generator, which I call it SPG technology.
So what does it run on?
It's going to be running on magnetic generators, but it's going to be like, it's not going to run with petrol or diesel, but it's going to be self-propelled. So there's a lot of things that I can explain, but right now it's still under process, so I'm still working on it. But I've done some tests already, so I think it's working very well. So,
and what are your thoughts on our current capacity and infrastructure?
The current capacity, you know, the problem is right now, we're looking at the infrastructure. Basically, let me say, we're depending on Eskom. And Eskom is literally failing us. So we need to come up with some other methods or mechanical generation of electricity instead of relying on them. So what we need to do as South Africans, we need to stand up on our own and make things happen on our own, to create things that belongs to us, that will be able to supply and help the community as a whole. So this generator, I'm actually looking to, you know, to rent it out, or maybe you buy it in that kind of event.
Yeah. Tebello, thank you so much for your comment. And I think, you know, Hayley, Tebello raises a key point around power supply and the crisis currently being experienced in the country. I mean, for these electric vehicles, you need that problem solved, and it's going to take a collective approach. And I know as BMW, you are part of the stakeholders that are working with government to try and resolve this situation, because it's in the good of you as a company. You need the power supply to be stable so that even with these future vehicles, it's so easy for people to buy into that.
Indeed, it is a collective, I want to say, problem, but not really. I mean, it's something that we're working towards with other stakeholders, definitely. But from our side as well, I mean, we work, we operate within the premium segment, and we already have customers that we know of. Some we don't know of, but I'm certain that they exist, who have access to alternative sources of power to be able to power the cars, the houses, the offices. So I think it's, as your caller was saying as well, it's not, we can't be reliant on a single source. We need to also expand how we look at generating power, definitely.
Yeah. Let's go to Marion, who's calling us from Sandton. Marion, good morning.
Yes, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm totally in favor of electric cars. I think it's brilliant, and we need to reduce our reliance on oil. However, if you live in an apartment building and you need to charge this, do you may have to ensure that the building or somehow installs electrical outlets, plugs in the garages? Otherwise, how would you charge this thing at home?
Because if you live in an apartment building. Yeah, Hayley?
Yeah, I think... hi, Marion. I think that's a discussion definitely that you would need to have with your complex or wherever you live. I mean, depending on where you are, I mean, in Sandton, you would have access to a BMW dealership where you'd be able to charge your car. It doesn't have to be a BMW that you're driving, of course. Mm-hmm. You can drive any manufacturer's electric vehicle. But yeah, I mean, some of those topics would need to be addressed individually, but depending on where you are and where you're going, definitely, especially with the cars that are coming that will have a little bit more range, it's not necessary then to especially charge it overnight. It's just an option, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so I want to go to the voice notes now that are coming on 072-702-1702.
Hi, guys. I have two questions. What is the price range of the cars? And the second question is, if you're doing a long-distance travel, how would that work? Is there a portable charger or how would it work?
Yeah, so Hayley, I think you can pick up on the next one. I think you did touch on it earlier, whether there's a portable charger. Maybe this listener missed it. Maybe you can please, if you don't mind, repeat that when you're going on long distance, and also the price range of the cars.
Okay, so in terms of the charging over long distances, up till now, our cars in particular have not really been geared for long distance travel. So they've been used primarily targeted as second cars or within two car households at least, where these cars are being used for urban mobility. So picking up the kids from school, going to the shops, everything within quite a small radius. But obviously, South Africans, we love to drive. We spend a lot of time on the road. And now we're getting a car quite imminently that will be able to have a range up to about 630 kilometers. But then also over the next few years, we'll also be looking at the next phase of petrol electric hybrids that then offer you the best of both worlds. We'll have electric pure electric use over shorter periods of about 100 kilometers, and then you have the added benefit of a petrol or diesel engine for the extra distance. For now, it's able to do a route, for example, from Johannesburg to Durban in an electric car. There are charges along the route via third-party suppliers where you're able to top up your power, as we mentioned earlier. So if you're stopping for a meal or just for a bathroom break, those are options where you're able to charge your car. And that's infrastructure that's being expanded on at the moment quite rapidly. In terms of the costs. So at the moment, the cheapest, if I can use the word in inverted commas, electric car in the country, it's the Mini Cooper SE. It costs about 658,000 rand. And then the car that we'll be introducing again quite soon, that's the top of the range model, is just over 2 million rand.
Yeah. So, and how different is it? So even with the 600,000, the Mini, how different is it in terms of the pricing? How different is it in its range from just your normal car that would cost that amount of money? Is it almost the same with the same features, so to speak?
So, yeah. So I'm speaking about the Mini Cooper SE, which is electric Mini, full electric Mini within the Mini range. It's actually not even the most expensive Mini in that range. So definitely it's on a par. I mean, it's a lifestyle choice. So you choose not to use a petrol or diesel engine, well, petrol engine in the Mini range, you shouldn't be penalized for that as such. So definitely it's on a par with the other models within the range.
Okay, here's another voice note.
Good day, Clement. Just ask your guest today, is it possible for me to charge my Nissan on a BMW charger or vice versa? Or the charging stations, how are they going to be built? They are going to be built specifically for certain cars. In this case, we've got Jaguar and we've got Nissan and BMW. So in that petrol or the whatever station, there will be three different chargers. That's what I concerned about. Thank you, Clement.
All right, thank you for your question. Hayley?
Yeah, no, thankfully, again, this is also a collective problem, I think, for all manufacturers. So, yeah, so depending on the car you drive, there's no difference. You can charge at any other manufacturer, even third parties charging station.
Ah, okay. I know as BMW, you've got some exciting new products that are coming soon with bigger range. Can you just tell us more about this? I think you touched on some earlier.
Yeah, so we are very excited to launch the BMW iX. It's the next phase of electromobility for us. So bigger range, as we mentioned, but also new next phase of battery technology. And then early next year, we'll be launching the BMW i4, which is based on the 4 series, Ford or 4 series, as well as the iX3, which is based on the X3 SAV that is quite common on South African roads and that we build in in our Roslyn plant as well.
Yeah. How are you getting more people? Because I imagine some people may be reluctant to go out and buy electric vehicles. How do you get them and convince just your regular car lovers to go out and buy electric vehicles?
I think for many people, if you're not exposed to the technology or exposed to the concept of electric vehicles, it seems quite foreign. Mm-hmm. For me, the best thing would be to get into a car and drive it. So get an opportunity, sit in the car, experience it. Driving electric car is very different in many ways, but in many ways it's also very similar. So, mm-hmm. But you need to kind of experience it for yourself,
yeah,
to be able to understand the differences. But I'm telling you, it's something that's unrivaled. It's that instant torque that comes from driving. So, I mean, you don't have to worry about acceleration. You're gone. When the lights change, you're gone. So there's a different kind of driving, but it's fun. But it's fun. So,
I'd
say get in a car, drive it, and make the decision for yourself.
And it's environmentally friendly, right?
There you go.
That's an added, the big one there. Haley, thank you so much for coming through. Haley Philander is a product communications specialist for BMW Group South Africa.